Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's parable, in today's gospel, Jesus speaks by way of a parable. Jesus had spoken many parables, and he used somewhat real life but often exaggerated stories in order to teach something about the kingdom of God. In today's parable, the parable of the great banquet, Jesus speaks of a man who prepared a banquet and invited many guests to his banquet, but the first made excuses. The man got angry and told his servants to go out and invite anyone until the banquet hall is filled with guests. Like most of our Lord's parables, this one is very rich and has many excellent applications, and so we will work our way through this parable. First, a man is preparing a banquet. A banquet. Just think about the amount of time and preparation and work that goes into preparing a banquet. Some of you, that might be the only time that occurs is when the family is getting together to celebrate a wedding within your own family. And then, of course, we usually pay a caterer to do much of the work for us. But just think about all the effort that goes into that banquet. Of course, we begin with the food. How much time does it take to prepare a large and wholesome, delicious banquet? I'm sure all of you can recount a time in which you thought a dish that you are going to prepare will take you 30 minutes, but then it ends up taking 60. Or a dish that you thought would take you an hour, and it takes 2 hours, and then you don't get to eat on time. And that, of course, isn't even a banquet. It's just the dinner, a meal that you had been preparing for your family. Now, this man is throwing a banquet for many, many guests whom he invites. There's lots of food, but not just the food, but there's also the venue that needs to be cleaned and decorated, and everything must be just so because he highly esteems the guests whom he's inviting. Why go through all of this work? He really does want to honor the guests. He's elevating the guests by preparing this wonderful banquet for them. He's not trying to bribe his guests with some sort of timeshare sale, but instead he is simply doing this out of the goodness of his own heart. And such it is in the kingdom of God. After mankind rebelled by disobeying God's word and eating the forbidden fruit, God, in his love and mercy, by grace, promised to them a Savior. And much planning went into his arrival. God did this completely out of his grace. And at the right time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, who would redeem the world of its sin through the shedding of his blood. So for over 4,000 years, the prophets had prophesied our Lord's coming. They gave additional details on who Jesus is and what he will do in order to reconcile man, sinful man, back to our perfect God. And God had done this at the right time so that the gospel would be spread efficiently. Then Jesus came and fulfilled everything that was written of him. All went according to God's plan. Jesus came and paid for the sins of the entire world. And the night before his crucifixion, Jesus instituted a banquet, a feast, the Lord's Supper, for Christians to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And this banquet feast serves as a foretaste of the great feast to come, when we join our Lord in the gates of paradise and the saints who have gone before us. Upon our Lord's glorious resurrection, Jesus instructed his disciples to go everywhere to preach the gospel of Jesus and invite them into his banquet feast, to feast on the saving gospel, to receive the word and the sacraments, and to do so in churches that God will establish throughout the world. And so this great banquet, which is described here, continues. And like the banquet in this parable, the banquet that continues to our day requires much preparation. We Christians consider this church service, this hour in which we gather together in the divine service, as a great banquet feast. And far more preparation goes into it than what meets the surface of the eye. Some things might be a little easy to see if we put some thought into it. We see the fact that the altar is all set up. The elders had prepared for communion. The altar guild has made sure that the candles are filled with oil and the linens and paraments are all ready. Of course, the organist takes time to prepare the music. The pastor selects the hymns and writes a sermon. Our building also needs to be maintained. Really, it takes a small army of people within our congregation to accomplish all of this, and we are ever so grateful for the efforts of many. And we can also broaden our look at what goes into the preparation of this banquet. We are gathering in a sanctuary that was built largely by the saints who have gone before us when this was built in 1965. The oldest hymn that we are singing today was written in the 14th century. And this means that generations of saints have labored so that all things are ready in today's banquet feast. Really, what we are celebrating today, as we receive this gift of the gospel, it goes all the way back to when this gospel was first promised to Adam and Eve. That's when the preparations began. So how did the people respond who were invited initially in today's parable? As you can see from the parable, the people were largely unimpressed. They figured that they had better things to do. They came up with excuses, and they asked the benevolent one who was inviting them to let them be excused. They perhaps didn't consider the great effort that was going into the preparations for them to enjoy this banquet, or how highly esteemed the man who did this banquet viewed his guests. I'm sure you can all recall times when your wives or your mothers put a lot of effort into making one of her favorite dishes, and then when you had it, after seeing all of this work, you wondered what the big deal was. Perhaps you weren't even impressed or didn't even like it. She may feel that she wasted hours, and you may have been happier going to Maid Rite. The one who goes through such a great effort may be left angry or hurt, as the man in today's parable was angry. Considering all the preparations that God has done for us, how can we not, though, but receive his invitation with great joy? How can we not gladly hear the word of God and keep it? God has blessed us with a banquet feast that is worth far more and is far more precious and valuable and life-changing than all of the world's goods and wealth. For here, in this banquet feast, you are reconciled to your Father. The forgiveness of sins is placed upon you here. And with the forgiveness of sins comes eternal life and salvation. What God is doing is he is showering his love upon you. He is demonstrating the peace that he has with you. He is showing you his grace. And knowing that God offers these things right here for absolutely free, we confess with the psalmist, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" We talked a little bit about this in our Bible study this past Wednesday morning. One aspect about Bible study is that you may ask questions. In the divine service, it would be disorderly if people would interrupt with questions. And so everyone listens to basically a speech. It's a sermon. But in Bible study, the format is much different. There, of course, interaction is always encouraged. Questions are, of course, good. And on Wednesday, we discussed the proper source for happy or joyful feelings that arise as being a Christian. Surely they can come from music, and they can also come from satisfaction over service or doing a good work. But the true joy that we have, that arises in us, the fruit of the Spirit, actually comes through the Word of God, the message of the gospel, that God has reconciled us sinners to himself, and he has opened to us the gates of paradise despite our rebellion. Should that not make you feel joyful? Should that not just make you just be filled with awe and wonder that God would view you, a sinner, as one who is righteous as Christ himself is righteous? For God has replaced your sin with the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yet often, as we hear of this forgiveness, as it is pronounced upon us, we think that this is an old message, perhaps not also relevant to the here and now. We're often tempted to want to move on to things that we feel might be somehow better. But how can we improve upon the salvation offered by God? We cannot. Yet we're tempted to turn to those things which may give us a temporary feeling of being better. Like those who made excuses in today's parable, many do so today. Instead of being joyful for having received the banquet invitation, many look at the divine service, they yawn at what takes place here, and they suppose that they either do not need it or that they can find an improved version elsewhere. Coming up with excuses, they forfeit their grand inheritance and their blessed adoption into God's family. In today's parable, they sought after inferior things which were offered by the world. One man wanted to see the field he just bought, and another to test out those new oxen. The last one, a newlywed, wanted time with his wife. And so they declined the invitation, thinking that they were fine without having it. Such is the way for those who figure that they may bypass God's invitation of the gospel. They think they're fine without it. They think they may even be better off without it. They feel that they have found something that provides for them greater meaning. But what they don't realize is that when they forfeit that, they not only forfeit the salvation God offers, but they also are left with far less meaning than if they would receive what God grants through the gospel and rejoice in the first article gifts which God grants. When people forfeit this gospel invitation, they may not realize it, but they become on the path in which they will suffer in the eternal fires of hell. So while they thought that they were gaining something that the world has to offer, in the end, they not only lose what the world has to offer, but they also lose the gift of eternal bliss. They are left with nothing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is very enticing to go after all that the world waves before our eyes and figure that the whole Jesus thing can be sought another time. But now is the time of salvation. Jesus is offering you his kingdom even now. And so receive it and support it. Rejoice in it now before it is too late. For the man got angry in today's parable who declined his invitation. He didn't waste time on them. He moved on. There's a historical component to what Jesus is getting at in this parable. What he is referring to is the context, and that is these people felt that they were blessed to eat bread in the kingdom. And now Jesus is telling these Jewish people that they're forfeiting it. that they're opting for things of the world instead of the things of God. You see, what happened is Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. He fulfilled all the prophecies that had come. And in the first century, many Jews did not believe that this Jesus is the promised Messiah. And so they did not walk with him. And what does a parable do? The parable teaches about going out and bringing in other people. And that is exactly what God did. God instructed the apostles to venture out further beyond the Jews to all the nations. For Jesus did not just die as the Savior of one nation, but Jesus died as the Savior of all nations. For Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the entire world. And so this gift of salvation is not offered to just one group of people, but it is available to all, the Jews and the Gentiles, to male and female, to young and old, to those who are considered good or bad, to those who are whole and those who are maimed. The salvation that Jesus earned is for all. For when Jesus went to the cross and rendered his holy, precious blood and his innocent life as the ransom payment, he did so for all people and all sin. That means that Jesus even paid for the sins of the addicted. He paid for the cohabitors. He paid even for the sins of murderers. He paid for the sins of abortionists. He paid for the sins of those who currently despise the gospel. You name it, Jesus paid for it. And what does he do as he invites them to his banquet feast? He calls on them to repentance, to turn away from their former conduct, and to receive with great joy these eternal blessings that far outweigh any type of fleeting happiness the world might give. In the end, the man throwing the banquet is quite pleased, for his hall is now filled with guests, and these people are grateful to receive this free feast. God himself is glad to have you as his guest here. He rejoices that you have been baptized and adopted into his family. He is grateful that you have become a recipient of his kingdom. And he is pleased that you are hearing this gospel even today. Our triune God wants you here. He wants you to hear his true word, to confess your sin and receive the absolution, to sing the praises of God, and to feast on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in all of this, God the Spirit is working faith in you, saving faith, and blessing you with the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned for you on the cross, and serving you a heavenly banquet that has eternal blessings, which far outweighs all that the world has to offer. He not only wants this for you, but he wants it for all people. And so go out, invite them to receive these eternal treasures. The main man, or the man in today's parable, who gave that great banquet is, of course, Jesus. The servants who are those who tell the good news of Jesus to others, not just pastors, but also parents, neighbors, friends, you, as you invite others to hear this blessed gospel. Those who make excuses are those who figure that the gospel is not as precious as the things of the world. And of course, historically, it were those Jews who rejected Jesus as the Messiah during the first century. You've been beaten up from this world's corruption and from your own sin. Therefore, you are the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And what has God done? He has elevated you to be his own child, adopting you into his family and esteeming you to be a worthy guest and participant in this great banquet feast. God has chosen you to be his guest. He loves you. And you are blessed to taste his banquet as you feast on his word, as you've been baptized, as you hear the absolution, and as you receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. Come, for everything is ready for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.